The Crist knife dissolves at the death of its owner, Leto said. Muad'Dib has dissolved. Why are the Fremen still alive? It was one of those abrupt thought changes which so confounded Stilgar. He found himself temporarily dumb. Such words contained meaning, but their intent eluded him. I am expected to be emperor, but I must be the servant, Leto said. He glanced across his shoulder at Stilgar. My grandfather, for whom I was named, added new words to his coat of arms when he came here to Dune. Here I am, here I remain.
He had no choice, Stilgar said.
Very good, Still. Nor have I any choice. I should be the emperor by birth, by the fitness of my understanding, by all that has gone into me. I even know what the Imperium requires, good government.
Naib has an ancient meaning, Stilgar said. It is servant of the siege.
I remember your training, Still, Leto said. For proper government, the tribe must have ways to choose men whose lives reflect the way a government should behave. From the depths of his Fremen soul, Stilgar said,
You'll assume the imperial mantle if it's meet. First you must prove that you can behave in the fashion of a ruler.
Unexpectedly, Leto laughed. Then, Do you doubt my sincerity, Still?
Of course not.
My birthright?
You are who you are.
And if I do what is expected of me, that is the measure of my sincerity, eh?
It is the Fremen practice.
Then I cannot have inner feelings to guide my behavior?
I don't understand what...
If I always behave with propriety, no matter what it costs me to suppress my own desires, then that is the measure of me.
Such is the essence of self-control, youngster.
Youngster? Leto shook his head. Ah, Still, you provide me with the key to a rational ethic of government. I must be constant, every action rooted in the traditions of the past.
That is proper.
But my past goes deeper than yours.
What difference?
I have no first-person singular, Still. I am a multiple person, with memories of traditions more ancient than you could imagine. That's my burden, Still. I'm past-directed. I'm abrim with innate knowledge which resists newness and change. Yet Muad'Dib changed all this. He gestured at the desert, his arm sweeping to encompass the shield wall behind him. Stilgar turned to peer at the shield wall. A village had been built beneath the wall since Muad'Dib's time, houses to shelter a planetology crew helping spread plant life into the desert. Stilgar stared at the man-made intrusion into the landscape. Change? Yes. There was an alignment to the village, a trueness which offended him. He stood silently, ignoring the itching of grit particles under his stillsuit. That village was an offense against the thing this planet had been. Suddenly, Stilgar wanted a circular howling of wind to leap over the dunes and obliterate that place. The sensation left him trembling. Leto said, Have you noticed, Still, that the new stillsuits are of sloppy manufacture? Our water loss is too high. Stilgar stopped himself on the point of asking,
Have I not said it?
Instead, he said,
Our people grow increasingly dependent upon the pills.
Leto nodded. The pills shifted body temperature, reduced water loss. They were cheaper and easier than stillsuits, but they inflicted the user with other burdens, among them a tendency to slowed reaction time, occasional blurred vision.
Is that why we came out here? Stilgar asked. To discuss stillsuit manufacture?
Why not? Leto asked. Since you will not face what I must talk about.
Why must I beware of your aunt?
Anger edged his voice. Because she plays upon the old Fremen desire to resist change, yet would bring more terrible change than you can imagine.
You make much out of little. She's a proper Fremen.
Ah, then the proper Fremen holds to the ways of the past, and I have an ancient past. Still, were I to give free rein to this inclination, I would demand a closed society, completely dependent upon the sacred ways of the past. I would control migration, explaining that this fosters new ideas, and new ideas are a threat to the entire structure of life. Each little planetary polis would go its own way, becoming what it would. Finally, the Empire would shatter under the weight of its differences. Stilgar tried to swallow in a dry throat. These were words which Muad'Dib might have produced. They had his ring to them. They were paradox, frightening. But if one allowed any change... He shook his head. The past may show the right way to behave if you live in the past, Still, but circumstances change. Stilgar could only agree that circumstances did change. How must one behave, then? He looked beyond Leto, seeing the desert and not seeing it. Muad'Dib had walked there. The flat was a place of golden shadows as the sun climbed, purple shadows, gritty rivulets crested in dust vapors. The dust fog, which usually hung over Habaniya Ridge, was visible in the far distance now, and the desert between presented his eyes with dunes diminishing, one curve into another. Through the smoky shimmer of heat, he saw the plants which crept out from the desert edge. Muad'Dib had caused life to sprout in that desolate place. Copper, gold, red flowers, yellow flowers, rust and russet, gray-green leaves, spikes and harsh shadows beneath bushes. The motion of the day's heat set shadows quivering, vibrating in the air. Presently, Stilgar said,
I am only a leader of Fremen. You are the son of a duke.
Not knowing what you said it, Leto said. Stilgar scowled. Once, long ago, Muad'Dib had chided him thus. You remember it, don't you still? Leto asked. We were under Habaniya Ridge, and the Sardaukar captain, remember him, Aramsham? He killed his friend to save himself, and you warned several times that day about preserving the lives of Sardaukar who'd seen our secret ways. Finally, you said they would surely reveal what they'd seen. They must be killed. And my father said, not knowing what you said it. And you were hurt. You told him you were only a simple leader of Fremen. Dukes must know more important things. Stilgar stared down at Leto. We were under Habaniya Ridge. We! This child, not even conceived on that day, knew what had taken place in exact detail, the kind of detail which could only be known to someone who had been there. It was only another proof that these Atreides children could not be judged by ordinary standards. Now you will listen to me, Leto said. If I die or disappear in the desert, you are to flee from Siege Tabor. I command it. You are to take Ghani and—
You are not yet my duke. You're a child.
I'm an adult in a child's flesh, Leto said. He pointed down to a narrow crack in the rocks below them. If I die here, it will be in that place. You will see the blood. You will know then. Take my sister and—
I'm doubling your guard, Stilgar said. You're not coming out here again. We are leaving now, and you—
Still, you cannot hold me. Turn your mind once more to that time at Habaniya Ridge. Remember? The factory crawler was out there on the sand, and a big maker was coming. There was no way to save the crawler from the worm, and my father was annoyed that he couldn't save that crawler. But Gurney could think only of the men he'd lost in the sand. Remember what he said? Your father would have been more concerned for the men he couldn't save. Still, I charge you to save people. They're more important than things. And Ghani is the most precious of all, because, without me, she is the only hope for the Atreides.
I will hear no more, Stilgar said.
He turned and began climbing down the rocks toward the oasis across the sand. He heard Leto following. Presently Leto passed him and, glancing back, said, Have you noticed, Still, how beautiful the young women are this year? The life of a single human, as the life of a family or an entire people, persists as memory. My people must come to see this as part of their maturing process. They are people as organism, and in this persistent memory they store more and more experiences in a subliminal reservoir. Humankind hopes to call upon this material if it is needed for a changing universe, but much that is stored can be lost in that chance play of accident which we call fate. Much may not be integrated into evolutionary relationships, and thus may not be evaluated and keyed into activity by those ongoing environmental changes which inflict themselves upon flesh. The species can forget. This is the special value of the Kwisatz Haderach, which the Bene Gesserits never suspected. The Kwisatz Haderach cannot forget.
The Book of Leto, after Hark al-Ada.
Stilgar could not explain it, but he found Leto's casual observation profoundly disturbing. It ground through his awareness all the way back across the sand to Siege Tabor, taking precedence over everything else Leto had said out there on the attendant. Indeed, the young women of Arrakis were very beautiful that year, and the young men, too. Their faces glowed serenely with water richness. Their eyes looked outward and far. They exposed their features often without any pretense of stillsuit masks and the snaking lines of catch tubes. Frequently, they did not even wear stillsuits in the open, preferring the new garments which, as they moved,
offered flickering suggestions of the lithe young bodies beneath. Such human beauty was set off against the new beauty of the landscape. By contrast with the old Arrakis, the eye could be spellbound by its collision with a tiny clump of green twigs growing among red-brown rocks, and the old siege warrens of the cave metropolis culture, complete with elaborate seals and moisture traps at every entrance, were giving way to open villages built often of mud bricks. Mud bricks!
Why did I want the village destroyed? Stilgar wondered, and he stumbled as he walked.
He knew himself to be of a dying breed. Old Fremen gasped in wonder at the prodigality of their planet. Water wasted into the air for no more than its ability to mold building bricks. The water for a single one-family dwelling would keep an entire siege alive for a year. The new buildings even had transparent windows to let in the sun's heat and to desiccate the bodies within. Such windows opened outward. New Fremen with their mud homes could look out upon their landscape. They no longer were enclosed and huddling in a siege. Where the new vision moved, there also moved the imagination. Stilgar could feel this. The new vision joined Fremen to the rest of the Imperial universe, conditioned them to unbounded space. Once they'd been tied to water-poor Arrakis by their enslavement to its bitter necessities, they'd not shared that open-mindedness which conditioned inhabitants on most planets of the Imperium. Stilgar could see the changes contrasting with his own doubts and fears. In the old days, it had been a rare Fremen who even considered the possibility that he might leave Arrakis to begin a new life on one of the water-rich worlds. They'd not even been permitted the dream of escape. He watched Leto's moving back as the youth walked ahead. Leto had spoken of prohibitions against movement off-planet. Well, that had always been a reality for most otherworlders, even where the dream was permitted as a safety valve. But planetary serfdom had reached its peak here on Arrakis. Fremen had turned inward, barricaded in their minds as they were barricaded in their cave warrens. The very meaning of siege, a place of sanctuary in times of trouble, had been perverted here into a monstrous confinement for an entire population. Leto spoke the truth. Muad'Dib had changed all that. Stilgar felt lost. He could feel his old beliefs crumbling. The new outward vision produced life which desired to move away from containment.
How beautiful the young women are this year!
The old ways, my ways, he admitted, had forced his people to ignore all history except that which turned inward onto their own travail. The old Fremen had read history out of their own terrible migrations, their flights from persecution into persecution. The old planetary government had followed the stated policy of the old Imperium. They had suppressed creativity and all sense of progress, of evolution. Prosperity had been dangerous to the old Imperium and its holders of power. With an abrupt shock, Stilgar realized that these things were equally dangerous to the course which Alia was setting. Again Stilgar stumbled and fell farther behind Leto. In the old ways and old religions, there had been no future, only an endless now. Before Muad'Dib, Stilgar saw, the Fremen had been conditioned to believe in failure, never in the possibility of accomplishment. Well, they'd believed Liet Kynes, but he'd set a 40-generation timescale. That was no accomplishment. That was a dream which, he saw now, had also turned inward.
Muad'Dib had changed that.
During the Jihad, Fremen had learned much about the old Padishah Emperor, Shaddam IV. The 81st Padishah of House Carino to occupy the Golden Lion Throne and reign over this Imperium of uncounted worlds had used Arrakis as a testing place for those policies which he hoped to implement in the rest of his empire. His planetary governors on Arrakis had cultivated a persistent pessimism to bolster their power base. They'd made sure that everyone on Arrakis, even the free-roaming Fremen, became familiar with numerous cases of injustice and insoluble problems. They had been taught to think of themselves as a helpless people for whom there was no succor.
How beautiful the young women are this year!
As he watched Leto's retreating back, Stilgar began to wonder how the youth had set these thoughts flowing, and just by uttering a seemingly simple statement. Because of that statement, Stilgar found himself viewing Alia and his own role on the Council in an entirely different way. Alia was fond of saying that old ways gave ground slowly.